Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young. And today, I would like to transform your mind on how childhood trauma can affect your current love and relationships. To do this, I am speaking today with expert certified coach and relationship coach, Rhianna Milne. Rhianna, welcome to the Transform Your Mind radio show and the Mindset Transformation radio show. I need to get that one word right because I have two things. Okay. But anyway, welcome to the show. I'm going to enjoy speaking with you today.
Hi, Myrna. Thank you so much for having me. Hello, everyone.
Excellent. All right. So let me tell you a little bit more about Rhianna. Rhianna is a certified global life dating and relationship coach, a number one best-selling author of Love Beyond Your Dreams, Break Free of Toxic Relationships to Have the Love You Live Beyond Your Dreams, and From Fear to Personal Power, Purpose and Success. Rhianna is a life and dating coach for the new docuseries Radical Dating, which is finding lasting love over 40. She's also the host of her former TV show, Lessons in Life and Love, an educational speaker, a licensed mental health counselor, and certified trauma and addictions professionals for over 18 years. And she lives in Delaware Beach, Florida, so we're neighbors.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in Fort Myers. She specializes in those who have had past childhood dating or relationship trauma and offers one-on-one VIP coaching and online virtual coaching programs for both singles and couples. Visit her at www.lifeandlovetrainingacademy.com for more information on her virtual training and coaching programs. Rhianna also has a free app called My Relationship Coach and offers many videos and articles and information on her 5-star rated books, which are Love Beyond Your Dreams, Break Free of Toxic Relationships to Have the Love You Deserve, and Live Beyond Your Dreams, From Fear and Doubt to Personal Power. You can connect with Rhianna on her Facebook fan page, which is under Coach Rhianna Milne, and Milne is spelled M-I-L-N-E. Or you can visit her on her website, www.rhiannamilne.com. All right, so that was some background information in the bio. But one of the things one of the things I like to do is to start off my program with, you know, a little personal journey into how my guests arrive at the point that they are in their careers right now. And I'm always curious to know if what, you know, we're doing right now, happened because of a personal experience. So, for instance, Rhianna, you are a relationship coach, so you know, did you have some personal trauma in your dating or married life or even in childhood that brought you to where you are
today?
Yes,
and I'll tell my story throughout.
Okay.
But, yeah, just how I got to where I'm doing what I'm doing today. I mean, I've been a couple singles and family therapist for over 18 years, and I started the Atlantic City, New Jersey area and then moved to Delray Beach in 2014. And I knew that, actually, with Obamacare, that therapy practices would not be the same. And at that time, I decided I wanted a better supportive model for my people, and I went to school at RCI, Relationship Coaching Institute, 2009 and 10. And that resulted in creating a much better, faster, cutting-edge quality of like transformation to my clients, men and women of all ages. And my programs I created were 6 months long, all originally written from over 2 years of research. And that research came from a result of a relationship where I definitely was madly in love with a gentleman I married. We were so in love, we had three ceremonies, one in Atlantic City with our children standing up for us, one in Paris, and one in Cancun. And everyone thought we had the ideal relationship, and me included, until it was uncovered that he had a secret life. And as a school principal, he was caught with porn on his computer, and anybody knows within a school system, you just don't do that. So not only did it ruin his life, his reputation, but because he was married to me, it really jeopardized my life, my business, my dreams for my future, you know, where I thought I was going and everything I thought and believed that we had. And I have a triple master's in applied clinical and counseling psychology. I graduated summa cum laude. So I'm like, there's no information I learned in my master's that would describe what this man has, that would jeopardize his entire life, my life, everything we have. What is it? And that's what sent me on a mad search to discover what he had. And then when I did, this is what led to my books, Love Beyond Your Dream, which is 464 pages. So that's part of the research. And like I said, what I had learned was not discussed in my master's program. So it's funny when clients come to me, they say, oh, my gosh, Rianne, I've been with a therapist 6-7 years in 1 hour. I have learned more than I ever learned in my master's program or in my therapy experience with counselors. They didn't even hit on this. So, you know, when I discovered it, I also discovered most of my clients had the same situation happening to them. Marriages and relationships falling apart, people sabotaging their love, even though they love their partner dearly. You know, they had this hidden or secret life or were doing behavioral issues and patterns that would just erode and sabotage their love relationship. So, you know, this is information that I teach that you don't learn in any schools. Let's face it, even in high school or college courses, they didn't teach what an emotionally healthy relationship looks like, what qualities you should go for in someone. We grew up, Myrna, with the, you know, the fairy tales, you know, Sleeping Beauty, you know, here's a handsome prince, he kisses you, you wake up and you are happily ever after.
Yeah, well, you know, I would still look at Sleeping Beauty and all that stuff and I like it.
I know.
You're right. They were programmed that way. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I found that it all stemmed down to childhood trauma. And the beginning part of my research was the information of ACOA, which stands for Adult Child of an Alcoholic. Well, that's one of the 10 traumas I'm going to go into today. But my ex was a child of an alcoholic, and he had 9 out of the 10 traumas once I did this work, and I'm like, no wonder. And I sent this to him because this was part of my healing. And he goes, oh, my God, put my picture on this. I am the poster child. You know, thank you. I never knew what was wrong with me.
Wow.
And this is like when I do 1 hour with you today, people will reach out and say, oh, my God, you're telling the story of myself or my partner. Now I know what's going on. So it's very, very powerful and insightful. And most of my clients that come to me are struggling with ongoing anxiety and bouts of depression and then repetitive broken or toxic relationships. And this all goes back to past childhood trauma.
Wow.
So that's
well,
what
you
I
got
do.
My you've got my stomach in knots right now because I know exactly you know, wow, that is a powerful story. That is a powerful story on so many levels. One where we can be thinking that we're in love and we can be thinking it's almost like I always quote the sleeping with the enemy. Well, because we're always feeling that we are, everything is so beautiful and that, hey, you know, there's a lot of people that have secret lives. So, which is
right.
why my stomach is in knots, because I know we're
I
reaching
know.
The mass here. We're reaching the masses here. But you know, it's, you know, I was going to say this later on in the program, but you know, it's a good point to put it here right now, because I was, you know, doing, I listen to podcasts. You know, I'm not somebody that stops learning. You know, I listen to podcasts,
right.
I read books,
you
know, I research when I learn from, you know, people like you that I bring on the show. So I'm always learning. And I came across this guy called Dr. Bruce Lipton, and I talk about him almost all the time in my shows, because he's profoundly changed my thinking. And basically what he's talking about is how our cells respond to the environment. And what he's saying is that, you know, whoever we are is because we're running the programs that we started downloading in utero in the first 6 years of our lives. And we're running these programs unconsciously. So when you talk about, you know, childhood trauma and how people are doing, you know, we're segmenting right into that same thing. And he also said, which is amazing, that most people or most kids grew up in dysfunctional families. There's
yes.
not too many of us that can say that we had a perfect mom and dad, or because even if they loved us and they treated us well, you know, we're adopting their beliefs and their you know, how they dealt with each other and the relationship that they had and all those things that we download. So
most of us would say we grew up in pretty normal childhoods. There's, you know, bumps in the road until they hear this report, and then they're like, wow, I had more traumas than I even realized.
Yeah.
Because we normalize it as children. It's part of the survival pattern. And what happens, there's something called childhood triggers that an adult brings forward unconsciously into their adult love relationships. And this directly comes from emotional or physical trauma that occurred to a person where they were very young. And then they develop faulty
coping
mechanisms.
And most of them don't even realize it. And most of them don't even realize it, because you would say to them, and they would say they have a happy childhood. You know, even me, when I heard this story, I had to go back, and of course, unless, you know, you don't know, because you just think you had a happy childhood, because maybe you're fed and, you know, you got a little hug once in a while or something.
It's normal. It's all you know. Yeah.
And
then as an adult, you think you know something's wrong, but you can't put your hand on it. It's all unconscious.
It's all unconscious. Your subconscious
programs.
Subconscious
they were
programming.
Used for survival when you were a kid, and then they emerge as an adult as destructive behavioral patterns or habits. And then these sabotage or put the couple at risk, strain the relationships, and then ruin their chances at, you know, long-term emotionally healthy love.
Yeah, and I think what my spirit is connecting to is the word that you said, that, you know, people or, you know, let's say that we're both women, so let's talk about the opposite sex, like men, and your story has to do with a man doing something to you, but women can do the same thing too. But for now, let's say that we're talking about a man doing something, having a secret life, and, you know, he might say that he loves his wife, and he might say that, you know, whatever, but then he still goes out and does and sabotages and does things that, you know, jeopardizes that. And, you know,
the
maybe they're not even
impulses.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's probably, I think, what my spirit is connecting to, because, there's a lot. I've experienced that myself in my own personal life. And I'm pretty sure that almost every woman that's on here that's been, you know, been in relationships will tell you that they connect with that. Because you don't understand. Mm-hmm. They will tell you, I love you. And then go
and
do
they really
do something totally out.
They really do. And when his world fell apart, he was crying. And, you know, a lot of times they don't apologize, but that's part of what I uncovered. But he ran away. Like, he couldn't face it, leaving me to face the community, the wrath, the questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they deny their pain and shut down and normalize it within their head. You know, so it's very traumatic for the partner that's, you know, left behind or, you know, caused this. And that's why I said I'm on a mission to change the way the world loves, you know.
And it continues, right? Because, you know, that person or that woman that's been hurt, right?
Yeah.
Right. that you have transformed and you have evolved and you are, you know, and you researched it and healed yourself. But a lot of people don't. They go to their deathbed with hate and anger, and then they get diseases. Listen, it is like a hamster on a wheel, you know. So, you know, I have learned, you know, as a person that's working on being involved myself, you know, I have learned to protect me and to protect my my psyche and my personal thing, and the way I survive right now is not letting other people's problems, you know, affect the way I relate. And that's how I've learned to deal with it.
Right.
But
right.
But anyway, yes. So again, very powerful conversation we're having here right now. So I think you touched on it a little bit, you know, in your introduction. But I have a question that I've written down here, and the question is, how does childhood trauma impact adults in life and love? You know, do you have like some bullet points for that?
Oh, yes. But I think it's easier if I go over the 10 traumas first, and then once they're identified, then I relate them back to how they show up.
Okay.
So, and this is where I advise the listeners, and you might like to do this too, Myrna, get a piece of paper and make 3 columns. And the first column you put me, the second column you put your partner, and the third column you put parents. Because research shows it does go through the generations. And when I mentioned the traits, you can just put mom and dad or both.
Okay.
So here are the 10 traumas. Now, as I speak them, remember that when you were a child, you're very young and innocent. All you know is what mom and dad modeled to you. So it's nothing to feel guilt or shame about. Okay. So I don't want people to say, well, no, it didn't happen, because they're embarrassed or they feel shame around it. It is a fact. If it happened, write it down. Because if you choose to meet with me later, which I do offer your listeners to meet with me, I would ask, how many of the 10 traumas did you have? Because helping my clients is like putting a puzzle together. Once I know what their childhood traumas were and then how it's showing up for them as an adult, I start putting the pieces together, and it starts making a whole lot of sense why what is happening is happening. And my favorite line, my quote is, you can't change what you don't understand. So here we go. The first one, again, if you were a child, if your parent had any addiction, now we typically think of drugs and alcohol, but there's also a sex addiction. So if your parent was a cheater, or porn, eating, hoarding, spending, gambling, TV watching, gaming, workaholism. Now there's 11 addictions right there. The addiction usually comes before the partner and the children. So that addiction in either parent. Okay, the second one is verbal abuse. Now, you could have witnessed mom and dad screaming and yelling at each other, and it didn't come to you. Or usually if there's a volatile household verbally, that you usually do have verbal abuse come to you. So the typical is yelling, screaming. But this also includes no verbal accolades, no compliments, not hearing I love you, verbally humiliated or put down, like your opinion means nothing to me, or, you know, you'll never amount to anything, comments like that. Number 3 is emotional abuse or neglect, your parents just not being around, being gone for long periods of time. But the research also shows latchkey kids, let's say they came home from school at 3 o'clock, and mom, if they're in a single household, mom had to work 9 to 5, well, that child's alone for 2 or so hours. There's anxiety around that. So that even falls under the neglect, believe it or not. While we're out trying to support our kids, you know, they're home alone. So that falls under that. Number 4, physical abuse, rape, or molestation. Now, the rape molestation could have happened in or outside of the home. Physical abuse is being beat, hit in any way, other than the typical spanking, like a quick spank on the butt, you know, that's, but really research showed that does nothing to help teach your child anything. So I always say, you know, when I do parenting lectures in the schools, because I worked in every grade level from kindergarten all the way through college, and I do a lot of speeches around trauma with kids. You know, parenting, we are teachers, and we're supposed to teach our child another way. And if you're beating them or hitting them, you're teaching them to be violent back. So we don't want to do that. Okay, number five is abandonment. There's two types, fault and no-fault abandonment. So three examples of no-fault abandonment would be if a parent has to go off and serve at war, if a parent happens to die early, or a parent travels away from the home a lot. Now, that was one of my traumas, and I didn't realize it. I thought, my husband has trauma. I grew up in a normal home. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I remember asking my mom all the time, when's daddy coming home? And she'd say back in disgust, well, I don't know. And I'm like saying to myself, well, why doesn't she know? It's her husband. It's my dad. Where is he? Well, years later, when my father was dying, we didn't know. He was FBI and CIA. So my dad was like James Bond. And years later, we got letters from William Casey of the FBI and Ronald Reagan thanking my father for his many years of service. And I'm like, ah, that's where he was.
That's where he was.
I cried out.
And I'm assuming your mom didn't know either?
No, you can't tell your family. It can bring harm to your family. So we didn't know. And that is a no-fault abandonment because that is the way my father supported the family. Okay. A fault abandonment is if there is a divorce and the father, let's say he leaves the home and he's supposed to see the children every weekend and he's either late or cancels, or if he does pick up the child, he's spending more time with his new girlfriend than he is paying attention to you, the child. So that's a type of fault abandonment. Number six, if you were adopted, part of foster care, or you needed to live with relatives because mom or dad couldn't take care of you. That even includes grandmas, aunts, or uncles. Now, I had a client that signed up with me. She goes, well, how about if we chose to live with another family because we didn't want to go home? I said, yes, that falls under that category because there was always yelling and screaming in her household, so she didn't want to be home. Number seven is a very popular one. This is called personal trauma. This comes from being bullied, feeling different, not fitting in, being a little overweight as a child, or like me, skinny and gawky. And that was one of my traumas until at 12, I applied for a modeling scholarship and I won out of the entire eighth grade. I poured my heart and soul into an essay why I wanted to be a model because my family couldn't afford the $500 at that time to send me to school. And I happened to win the scholarship, and I then learned that skinny was okay,
at
that time. But I do remember feeling very different. Now, another example of that is I had a beautiful African-American girl come into my office here, and, you know, I went through the first trauma. She goes, no, my family was fantastic. And I hit on this one. She goes, that's it, Rihanna. Oh, my gosh. She goes, I was the only black female in an all-white school. I was never accepted. I was put down. I was bullied. I was teased. And what she was suffering with was extreme jealousy around her boyfriend. And that was because she never felt good enough. So that's trauma number seven, where many, many people remember being bullied, not part of the sports teams or chosen or being different, not the cheerleader, not in the popular crowd. And, you know, I just watched the whole series, 13 Reasons Why, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's such a great example of what kids go through in the schools. And I was the anti-bullying counselor, you know, working with kids of trauma. Kids getting traumatized at home are the ones that come in to be bullied. So I taught all the kids in a program called Stand Up for Friendship. That was the elementary school program. My school in Vineland was like a war zone, teaching them to have empathy for the bully because they're coming from traumatic situations. And the whole school climate changed. It was so successful. It was televised when I was there in Vineland. But unfortunately, I was one of 11, we're called a SAC counselor, student assistance counselor, that was laid off due to funding. And I'm thinking we should be the first ones to be hired in today's social climate.
They value math and English.
And then they have to deal with the aftermath of school shootings. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right.
So, the SAC counselor deals with the kids in trauma. Okay, so the next one is sibling trauma. The sibling could have been born with a medical issue where it demanded more of mom's and dad's time. They could be bullying you, but most often this one applies to if you perceive them as being the golden child. So they were more athletic, more beautiful, or handsome, more intelligent, getting better grades, and mom or dad gushed over them versus you when you were always trying to prove yourself and say, see, I'm worthwhile too, you know. And I had a little bit of that. I was born in between two brothers. I'm fourth out of five kids. I'm very close to my brothers, always have been, always will be. But they, you know, came to be All-American water polo and swimming. And it was funny. I mean, I was a swimmer too, and I made it in the Penn State Hall of Fame speech communications, and nobody ever said anything, you know, so it's like, that's okay. By then I was just, it was normal to me. It's like, it's all right, never mind. But that's the kind of thing that can lead to workaholism. Okay, that's an outcome there, trauma 7 and 8. Okay, moving on, family trauma, and later in the list, which I have joined to number 9, is community trauma. So family trauma is if a parent is incarcerated, if you're moving a lot, like military families in the U.S., they move every 2 to 4 years, growing up in lack, growing up in dangerous neighborhoods. That's all around family trauma. Community trauma, now let's look at all of this, how it's escalated. And I'm in the baby boomer generation. We did barely had any of these. We have active volcanoes and massive fires, floods, hurricanes, the mass shootings. You know, I was speaking in Las Vegas right after their mass shooting, the school shootings. I mean, we didn't have this kind of trauma growing up, and our kids, our, you know, teens, 20s, and kids in their 30s, because my daughters are 34 and 35, they were a senior in high school when Columbine happened, and that was like, what? You know, that was like earth-shattering. Now these school shootings are rampant. So the community and family traumas have really escalated for our kids. And then the number 10th one is mental health issues in either parent. The two most severe is borderline or bipolar. For the listeners, bipolar is manic and depressive. Depression can come out as anger, just checking out emotionally, or severe fatigue. And people there, well, is manic the good one? Well, it could be a high and happy, but very often it's not very good. It could be a gambling or eating binge, spending binge. So that's how manic can come out. And then borderline, I describe as fast trigger anger, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde personality type that my ex had. The moods of when you're good, you're great, but when you're bad, it's horrid. And Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde personality type, I describe this, if you've seen the Broadway show or the movie, watch it again, because it's going to totally open your eyes to this whole personality type. Dr. Jekyll was loved in the community, popular, charming, handsome, wealthy, doctor, the whole nine yards, everything you'd want your ideal man to be. And then Mr. Hyde is the hidden personality type. And he's the one that's sociopathic, psychopathic, because, you know, in his off hours, he was out ravaging women and killing them. Now, what my ex did was not as severe, but this personality type really exists. And according to Martha Stout's book, The Sociopath Next Door, 1 in 25 people are sociopathic. And the sociopath, you know, the big buzzword today is, oh, my husband or my partner's a narcissist. Well, they're more likely to be a sociopath, and narcissism is part of that. And sociopathy means that they have no regard for your emotional feelings. They act on what they want, when they want it, without thinking about their partner or the repercussions. And my ex was a sociopath. You know, he didn't think of his consequences. He was so entrenched with the porn addiction and doing what he wanted when he wanted, the magical thinking, I'll never get caught, you know. And being a principal, you know, your computers are all monitored. Like, hello,
right?
You know, but feeling nothing would happen to him, and never apologizing, you know, to anyone, running away. So this is sociopathy. And then when I realized he had 9 out of the 10 traumas,
this is why this behavior
happened. Okay, then the question is, well, why did I attract that? So then I had to do the research for those answers. So I am unlike every other love coach, because I specialize in how the past has harmed you and what you're attracting. And we call it same person, different face, the repetitive toxic relationships. and this happens, my clients are very successful in business, but they struggle in love, and they can't figure out why. Like, if I can get this career right, why can't I get love right? Well, being successful in business also comes from childhood trauma, because you are proving I'm worthy, I'm smart, I'm intelligent, and I have wonderful case examples of those. If you want me to give one or two, they're fascinating, and then people were like,
"Yeah, well, you know,
I get it."
Wow. Yeah. I do a lot of interviews, and I talk to a lot of experts, and I learned so much. But I will tell you, at this moment, I'm thinking that this is one of the most important topics or discussions I've ever had on this show. Because it is absolutely amazing, because it touches almost 100% of people. And you know, a lot of times people come on the show and, you know, there's 10 traumas and they'll give two because they want you to go and read their book and, you know, get the other eight or whatever. So I thank you so much for listing not only the 10 traumas, but explaining them and having us do that exercise with the me, partner, and the parents thing. That
there's
is absolutely
more, Marna, but like,
well, I know, obviously, we've already gone for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And we have an hour show, and that's the first question. So, so anyway, let's, all right, before I go on break, I want to ask you this follow-up question, because I don't want to, you know, let it go. Now, actually, let me just comment on this here for a minute. So yes, this was powerful. This was powerful because there's so many parts of here that not only affected me, affected my partner, affected my parents. I love that. And in you know, I'm also experiencing some situations right now with some adoptive children that probably, you know, have all this. And this is one of the reasons that they're not conforming to, you know, life and things like that. So a whole bunch of things there. But I've also done a lot of work, not as in-depth as you, but because I have come across people that are psychopaths, that I've done a lot of work on them, and I feel that, you know, my children, you know, has some of these tendencies because of the trauma that they've been inflicted on. So do you think, and I'm going to ask you the question, do you think that these traumas affect the mental health and your hidden personality or psychopath, or is something that they're born with? Or, no, hang on, let me ask the question a little differently.
Okay.
Like, I started off by saying who we are is because of our downloads in the utero and the first 6 years of our life. So do you think that becoming a psychopath later on in life, let's say 40, 50, is because of what you downloaded as a child and what you continue to download as an adult, or they're born they came, it's in their DNA, let's put it that way.
Okay. Borderline is passed through genetic makeup, borderline personality. Okay. A very anxious pregnant mother can definitely pass that on to their child.
Right.
The first 11 years I look at as being the most formative. And, you know, sociopaths, again, are those without emotional remorse. They'll hurt their partner.
Right.
They'll take advantage of them financially with no remorse. The psychopath
right.
is the killer. Those are the ones that will kill. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the psychopath, the killing one, is usually severely traumatized. That's a trauma level of 9 or 10, usually physically beaten or verbally put down most of their entire life. Isolators, lonely, nobody likes them.
So psychopath,
so that's the difference.
Killer, sociopath,
yes.
Emotionless. Okay.
Correct. Okay. So, yes, these folks can be helped. I have never worked with a psychopath. It's not my desire to work with someone who has killed. I do have a lot of sociopaths who come to me and say, my life is in shambles. I keep hurting people over and over. I don't know why. What's wrong with me? They know something's wrong, but it takes a long time for them to come and ask for help. When a partner is married to one.
Let me clarify the question, though. So those sociopaths, the one with no emotions, how do they become like that? Are they traumatized as well, or DNA again?
I wouldn't say DNA. No, I would say okay. their upbringing. And if you would like, I would give like a case study of somebody everybody knows. Okay.
Okay.
To clarify this a little bit.
Okay.
A sociopath is, again, someone without emotional remorse or can't touch base with their emotions. So
right.
one of the studies that I did was on, his name just went right out of my mind. The owner, the developer,
Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
Jobs, really?
Apple.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to say the wrong name.
Yeah, Stephen Jobs.
Anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I have another case study, which is actually...
Well, do you have one that's,
yeah,
you know, I've read about Stephen Jobs, and I know that he was focused and he was determined and, you know, he didn't have a lot of personal relationships and things like that. You're right. He didn't even want to have anything to do with his daughter because she didn't think it was...
Yeah, okay.
That
so it, is,
her
it
not.
Is Stephen Jobs.
But maybe we should use a different one because people love him. But they're not really going to identify.
No, that's fine.
I love him,
yes,
too.
Very, very accomplished. I mean,
you know, I'm thinking of somebody that... you know, even let's look at somebody in the foster care system where, you know, you adopt a child and you give them love
and they burn down
your house because they don't love you back, that kind of thing.
Well, Steve Jobs was adopted twice. Now,
okay.
this is information from the documentary on him, and I didn't know this. And he says he remembers most of his childhood as not being wanted. He was given up around age 2 and then readopted. He was a loner, shy, and craved security. So where security come from? Not feeling wanted. It's abandonment. He became a workaholic, which is job, which is the most important thing. But he was described in the documentary as being difficult, emotionless, and demanding to employees. He was spoiled and expected perfection in work.
Right.
He was
a
loner, described as weird and different. Yes, distant and absent relationship with his daughter. He spent very little time with his wife, who eventually divorced him. He was excited and connected to things, which are machines. Why? Because they couldn't hurt him. And he was often accused of blurting out. Blurting out is one of the common signs of childhood trauma, which means saying offensive and impulsive things that leave everyone saying, why would he say that? Like, what? And one of our top politicians blurts out all the time. And yes, he has childhood trauma. Okay, so I remember, you know, going by a TV once and said, what do you think's the matter with him? Does he have a mental health issue? And I said, no, he has childhood trauma. You know, because I've studied his biography. So, and I can give a second example, someone who has had childhood trauma, because this helps people understand. And this was from a documentary done by Wright Thompson for ABC News, seen on ESPN. And we're talking about Tiger Woods, the most successful golfer in history.
Well, you know, that's really interesting. I'm getting chills now. But I read Tiger's biography, and I came across with the same thing that he is a sociopath because of the way he's cut people from his life and the way, you know, the women and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, you know, we're treading a little dangerous ground because his father paid him all the attention in the world. He didn't have any childhood trauma.
If I tell you this history from the documentary, it makes all perfect sense.
All right,
first of all, he was a victim of severe racist bullying. He was tied to a tree, painted, and stoned by rocks as a child while the school teacher watched on and did nothing about it. As an adult child.
That wasn't in his book. Right?
Yes, this is fascinating. He's an adult child. That ACOA, that was the first discovery I had, but he liked skateboarding, comics, and Transformers. He was described as having very few friends. He has a boat that's called Solitude. He has a huge need for security all the time, very low trust, and he's an isolator. He's an insomniac, always had trouble sleeping. He's quoted as saying, golf helped me to keep my family together. Now, he wasn't thrilled about golf as a very little child. He said he had to do it all the time. But he did it because it's the one time his mom and dad would not fight.
And I, like, as I'm listening to this, I'm like, oh my God, this is a classic case study. His dad was military, so he's very stern, very stubborn, but he was described as being his best and only friend.
Yeah.
And when his dad died, his world fell apart.
A lot of time together. Started teaching him to play golf at three. Right.
However, the father was a womanizer, and he hated that part about his dad. So golf was the time that mom and dad would show up and be a couple. You see, but his dad was a womanizer. So after his dad died, what did he do? He went back to his childhood normal, you know, to soothe the anxiety of the loss of his best friend. And, you know, later on,
I'm getting a little bit now because you would not think that he had childhood trauma because we've all heard, you know, and his mom loved him, too. He was an only child and he got showered a lot of attention. But you are correct. I think I've heard that they fought a lot of times, and when the father went with him to play golf, he would go and you know, have these illicit relationships. So,
so even though he was described as awkward and a little bit different and nerdy, he would brag about, well, I have a sex addiction. You know, he would brag about his sexual conquest. So his unconscious emotional triggers kept getting him into trouble, and his childhood normal, quote unquote, of seeing dad always having women on the side, he ended up doing the one thing he hated about his dad. This is all childhood trauma. That's how it comes out. But I have other examples for your listeners that would make
We don't have enough time. We're going to take a break. We're probably only going to get to do one break today. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come right back. So, very, very interesting conversation. We can talk for 2 hours, but don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back, and then we are going to talk some more about statistics. So stay tuned. If you would like to improve the quality of your life and don't have the budget to hire a coach, then I have an offer for you. Why not play the game of life and learn the skills to maneuver life situations? How many of you have played the game of Monopoly and learned the value of having property to collect rent? Well, Points of View is a leading company in the field of training for personal and business development. Points of View use games to explore significant life themes in a fun, unique, and powerful way. Games are designed for use by professionals, organizations, or individuals. The games are designed to help you look deep inside yourselves and the environment around you. It is a stimulating exploration that sharpens your senses and opens up new possibilities. So who can use Points of View games? Anyone wishing to reconnect and enhance communications with themselves and others. Anyone in search of fresh perspectives on dilemmas, relationships, and decision-making. Those seeking interchange and the opportunity to build new bridges. Points of View is a collection of various games. The coaching game features 65 associate cards that explore significant everyday themes. Punction fosters associate connections between photos, themes, and questions. These flexible combinations make it a fascinating tool, highly effective in dynamic therapy, coaching, and counseling. Faces is a powerful way to get to know ourselves through the observation of others. For more information or to purchase one or more of these games, head over to https://poy4all.com/transform, which is TRANSFORM. These games would make perfect Christmas gifts for someone that you love so that they can have coaching in a fun and exciting way. So, once again, that website is https://poy4all.com/transform POY, the number 4, ALL.com/transform. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. Today we are speaking to relationship expert Miss Rhianna Milne. She is a certified life and relationship coach, and she has blown me away with the information that she provided to you and me. We're not even going to get a chance to talk about, you know, where I sit in this personal trauma arena, but I love the fact that we were able to expand and transform your mind on, and I love the very two last scenarios that Rhianna gave us regarding Steve Jobs and Tiger Woods, because we would not look at those very successful people and say that they were sociopaths. You know, we look at maybe the person that's struggling on the street and can't keep a marriage or a relationship going and, you know, have no personal success. But, you know, it comes in all forms. And I am so grateful to Rhianna for, you know, sharing with us today on this broad forum that, you know, we can all look at our lives a little differently and, you know, try to see how we can come back from some of this. So, you know, my very next question, Rhianna, is, you know, as a relationship coach, because, you know, we don't have a lot of time left. So as a relationship coach, let's say that you had a Tiger Woods come to you. You know, how do you...
I would love to work with him because he has a beautiful heart. He really does. And he's suffering from childhood trauma. I would never label him sociopath. I would label him someone as struggling with childhood trauma.
Well, and, you know, you gave him as an example, and I came to that same conclusion, not knowing anything about the childhood thing.
Two people that had childhood trauma.
Yeah, but I came to that conclusion because he would cut people out of his life emotionless. And when you... you know, decided that you have no use for somebody and you have no feelings for, you don't even cry. You just say, well, hey, you know what, I'm done with you. I move on to the next. I believe that is, you know, somebody that is emotionless. And I, you know, the book didn't say it, but I thought about it myself. So now that you've confirmed it. But anyway, so let's say that you have your husband, ex-husband, or Tiger Woods that has ruined their lives, right? Because, you know, of, you know, let's say subconscious programming that's playing in the background, and the subconscious is the one that takes over because most of us are not conscious. How do you deal with them? Is that how you deal with them?
Well, that's, as a coach, remember, I'm a clinical trauma professional. I wear three hats, the trauma professional, the psychotherapist, and then the coach. Mm-hmm. So my programs are 50-50, life coaching 50% and love coaching 50%. So for the singles, they have to be happy and successful with themselves first before they go out and date. So the very first piece I handle is putting the puzzle together of what past traumas they experienced and how they're showing up in their life. And we make the unconscious conscious. That's the number one thing most important. And as they go through the program with me, we are always keeping an eye on if these unconscious things are coming up, using the mindset for success to change those thoughts, look at them differently. This is a spiritually based program. There's a lot of forgiveness. And different ways of looking at things. You know, I teach them to live in the light very consciously and get away from the dark anxiety, depression. So that's what we do. And then in the love portion for the singles, they learn the exact skills they need to go out and date, the questions to ask, because we know that there's a lot of dangerous scenarios out there when you're meeting people. They are very confident and informed, knowing exactly what to look for, the exact questions to ask. And because, you know, 90% of people have experienced childhood trauma, how severe is it and have they done anything to correct it? Now,
so let me interrupt here for a minute. So let me interrupt here for a minute.
Okay.
So let's say that you they're aware of the me partner parent thing. So So let's say they go on dates and they keep asking, you know, not like a survey, but they find out that from talking to about that this partner has, like you said, 9 out of 10 traumas. So what do you teach them to do then?
They would probably not continue to date that person. We call it one and done. Okay, because
like
the world
it.
Is abundant.
Okay.
There's a lot of great people out there.
Okay.
So they're screening,
right.
you know.
Okay.
And how, I just wanted to talk on this because it's so important, how childhood traumas come up so your listeners know what to look for. Impulsive lying, control, jealousy, impulsivity that hurts them, the partner, and the relationship. People-pleasing is a big one for women. You know, if they grow up in it with an alcoholic mother, they're always pleasing her so they're not getting yelled and screamed at. Then they'll marry someone and people please and overdo for their husband and their children and come to me and say, no one loves me like I love them. You know, they don't do for me. So they become resentful and burn out. You know, that's people pleasing. There's abandonment issues. There's fast trigger anger. There's addiction. As a matter of fact, I just did a masterclass last week on successful in business but struggle in love. So you can write me if you want to get the link to that masterclass because it really goes deeper. And I have a free ebook. It's at havetheloveyoudeserve.com. It lists the 10 childhood traumas. So there's a little test you can take there. And there's ways that you can reach out to me. And it just gives you more information on this topic because it's really fascinating. And it answers so many questions. The other one is cheap drama, you know, the hidden life, the hidden secrets, and why are they drawn to that to the point of losing everything? You know, when you put your career on the line and you risk everything for that impulse, where's that coming from? That is coming from childhood
trauma.
What's
it called? Cheap what?
My ebook is Have the Love You Deserve.
No, I got that one. I thought you said something else after that.
Oh, cheap drama. Cheap drama.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, like sabotaging yourself and your life and your relationships. So, you know, those are just a few of the many, the long list that I have of how childhood trauma plays out. So if your partner, if you're thinking, I think my partner has this, you know, there's some of the traits, and the ebook will go even deeper into how this shows up.
Wow. Yeah, so that's good. All right. So I love everything that we talked about. You know, just briefly, I had a question here that you said that statistics shows that 9 out of 10 people struggle in life and love. Where is that information coming from? Where is that statistic information coming from?
That's coming from the Kaiser Permanente Group out of San Diego. And actually, they are finding 89.8% of people have at least 1 to 3, they call it ACEs. Adverse childhood events. There was another list that came out that included some of these ones that I'm including right now that was not on the Kaiser list. Like they did not have growing up in a dangerous environment. They did not have adoption or foster care. But I've worked with adolescents in a hospital setting at AtlantiCare, and I saw everyone that was from an adoption or foster care situation having a lot of trauma. They did not have personal bullying on the first list, but it was on the second list. It would be on my list because I worked in the schools. So I just call mine the checklist for childhood trauma, and that's what's in my ebook. And I did want to say to your listeners, too, that if you're concerned about this and want to dive deeper into this with me, I'm offering your listeners, Myrna, the first 8 that contact me, a free life and love transformation discovery session where we will discover what's going on for you and how, you know, you can change it. And that's exactly what I do in my coaching. We change this whole dynamic, and these are skills that you will have for the rest of your life. It's fascinating and so incredible. That's why I love what I do, to see the transformation in my clients.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's what you talk about, you know, giving back to the world and feeling so good about yourself because – you know, that's what coaches do, but you are, you know, you're not just a life coach. You are, you know, specific. And not even a love coach either. You're a specific trauma love coach. We're niching it down. And wow. And it's just sad that, you know, you have 90% of people that have a problem. You know, why can't it be 9% that's telling us that we're doing something wrong? that's really bad. That's really bad.
The Kaiser Permanente group, mm-hmm. most of what they did was the study on how those that had childhood trauma had later disease in life. So I don't even get to hit on that in a show like this. Cancer, heart disease, the immune system, irritable bowel, depression, all from childhood trauma. And their reports are very, very fascinating.
Well, not even from childhood trauma, but it's a trauma that they continue to do the most of their lives. You know, like childhood trauma stops, you know, my information stops at 7, you said 11. But, you know, if you were to make a change at 11, then, you know, you're not going to get cancer at 70. But if you continue allowing that trauma to affect you, then of course that's what's going to happen.
Trauma stays stored in the brain and the body. It's cellular. Yeah. So until you do the deep work with, you know, a clinical trauma professional, it's going to stay there.
Stays there. It just keeps, you know, subconsciously running, right? Okay.
Correct.
So that's awesome. So, all right, well, tell them how they can get your free ebook, how they can get in touch with you for your masterclass. You can you know, repeat again your website or whatever. So
sure.
Go ahead.
My website is my name, RianaMillen.com, RianaMillen.com. And on there, you know, you can sign up for that free Life and Love Transformation Discovery Session. It's 1 hour. It's worth $500 for singles and $1,000 for couples, because I do work with both. And it's free for you because you're one of Myrna's listeners. So, you know, I'm a limited person because I, you know, I can only give out so many. So first come, first serve on that. And the ebook is free. Mm-hmm. It's at havetheloveyoudeserve.com. And also on my website front page, the home page, you can get downloadable chapters to my two books, the number one bestseller, Love Beyond Your Dreams, Break Free of Toxic Relationships to Have the Love You Deserve, and Live Beyond Your Dreams, From Fear and Doubt to Personal Power, Purpose, and Success, which is all about the mindset for success in life, love, and career. So there's lots of free goodies at my website.
Wow. Listen, thank you so much, Rianna. I am so touched. I'm so touched. You know, being transparent before, you know, being transparent, I'm trying to find my list here. What my big trauma, and you know, I don't like to call it trauma because I don't think that I have you know, attached it cellularly, but it happened, and you know, I'm still going through my finding out how it's affecting me. But you know, I was sexually abused as a child.
That's a big one.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a big one, right? But it happened with it's very interesting. It happened with somebody that I loved and somebody that treated me well. So, you know, the only reason that it's called abuse, because, you know, I was between 5 and 10, and you know, I didn't give permission and all that kind of stuff. So,
sure, of course.
But one of the things that I do is, you know, I look at the positive things that it taught me about myself. And when you were going through not fitting in, you know, not fitting in, one of the things that probably affected me more than that was the fact that I felt that I was different because, you know, I wasn't a virgin when everybody else was. And that really changed me, and that really bothered me. But I think it set me on a trajectory to be a different person than somebody that's just, you know, surviving and just, you know what I mean? So I look at mine as a, you know, like they say that in order for the airplane to rise, it has to have some resistance and it has to have some, you know, difficulties and things like that. And I look at that as my stepping stone to becoming someone better, just like yours.
Yes.
In fact, your story.
Yes, I take your pain and make it your passion to help others understand.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, your pain with your marriage allowed you to go do research into it, and actually was your stepping stone to this work that you're doing, which is an excellent work. So that's basically, you know, what I say. And, you know, I look at my partner and I look at my parents and things like that. So this was good for me. And, you know, and I would take this information and do something with it. You know what I mean? A lot of times, like the Bible says, when you hear a word, you know, you let it form and take root, and not just, you know, when you go out there, the elements, you know, allow it to be snatched from you. So, mm-hmm. you know, my advice to whoever is listening, you know, take this word and do something with it. Do some reflection you know, where you fit in into this trauma thing. You know, Rihanna is offering a free ebook so that you can, you know, get into some more depth than, you know, or 40 minutes that she talked about the 10 times of trauma, the 10 types of trauma. She's offering a free session to, you know, the first 8 listeners. And even if you're not one of the first 8, but this would be something that you want to pay for, because it is something that is going to affect the quality of the remainder of your life. So I want to thank you guys all for tuning in to the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna radio show and podcast. My purpose for having this program is to plant new beliefs and inspiration in your mind so that they can incubate and transform your life, similar to the movie Inception. And right now, today is a perfect topic of understanding. Like Rihanna says, you can't change what you don't know about. The first thing is clarity. The first stage in any coaching is clarity, is understanding. So we have given you some insight into understanding, you know, maybe what's going on in your relationships, what's going on in your marriage, what's going on with you. So want to ask you to remember to subscribe to the podcast. It's on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. You can also get a full transcript of this audio on my blog, which is blog.myhelps.us, myhelps.us. And, of course, if you wanted to reach out to me on my personal website, it's www.myrnayounghelps.com. Myrna is spelled M-Y-R-N-A. So, in closing, I want to thank my guest, Rihanna Milne, for transforming our mind and giving us an in-depth understanding on how childhood trauma affects our grown-up relationships and life.
Thank you, Myrna. I just want to encourage them that it's time to have the life they desire and the love they deserve. Don't wait. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't wait. Yes, yes. You deserve happiness. All right. Yeah. All right. So until next time, namaste.